Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. A fine-looking bunch out there today. Glory to God. God is good. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I'm excited for the word today. God's got a good word for us. Amen. Sister, can you bring me down just a little bit? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know, with all these different sound things, you know, it's hard to know which one to turn up and which one to turn down. Praise the Lord. And they do a fine job back there in the booth. But glory to God. But sometimes we just need to help that a little bit. So praise God. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. You excited to be in church today? I believe you are. Praise the Lord. If you didn't, if you weren't in Corey last night, get listen to last night's message. Praise the Lord. It'll help you. You know, I want to talk about that just real briefly. But you know, I prepare the message according to the Lord, according to the direction of the Holy Spirit. As I prepare every message, you know, I don't have a pre-planned or pre-canned sermon. Amen. I seek the Lord on what He wants me to teach on or preach on. Amen. And last night, I went to the pulpit knowing a subject I was going to preach on, and I knew kind of the direction that it was going to go. Praise the Lord. But as I got, you know, we've always been told, just to give you a little background, we've always been told that there's three parts to every service. There's the, you know, there's the God part, there's the man part, the pastor's part, and then there's the congregation's part. You know, we know God always does His part, amen. And so then if He's done His part, which is preparation of the service, glory to God, well, I've done my part, amen. But then there's the people's part to come receive, amen. You know, we have to understand that we don't just come to church, but we come to church ready to receive what God has for us and to draw on the anointing that God has placed there, amen. Now, the anointing is not me, praise the Lord. The anointing is through the Holy Spirit, but the anointing is there to help us all. Actually, the Bible says that it's the anointing that destroys the yoke. And so if there's yokes on people, it's the anointing that is drawn upon that will break that yoke on people. Amen? And so that's what happened with me, and that's what happened to many others, and that's what we're believing for. So when we come to church, we need to come with a draw. And as we come with a draw, what does that mean? It means a hunger and thirst for the things of God. Amen? And as we come with that draw activated, praise the Lord, things can happen. Things can change. And so even though the message was planned to go in a certain direction, not by me, but by the Lord, as the people came in, there was a different countenance on the people. There was more of a draw than there has been. Amen. And that draw pulled the message in a different direction. But that the direction that it pulled it was a very good direction. Amen. And so because the people came hungry, they received and they pulled it so more people can receive. And so I just encourage you that there's a lot of good things in last night's message, not because I preached it, praise the Lord, because I didn't know half the stuff I was going to say, but the Lord knows what He's going to say. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, today's message is called Covenant Connection. Amen. Today we're going to be talking about our covenant with God. Amen. And what that means specifically, you know, we've been talking, you know, it's been coming up a lot, little bits here and there about marriages and stuff like that. You know, and we're going to hit that some today, I believe. But today specifically, we're talking about God's covenant with Him. And it's one day this week I was I woke up in the morning and I endeavor in the morning as I wake up to try to get into the Word. And, you know, get into prayer some, you know, just to get before the Lord. I endeavor to. I'm not saying I'm perfect at it, but that's my goal. Amen. And one morning this week as I woke up, I heard the words covenant connection come out of my spirit. Covenant connection, amen. And I knew that there was something in it. And then the Lord started revealing some things to me about covenant, His covenant with us. And I thought, well, why in particular? I knew it was for this church, amen, this in Mayville. Why in particular? It's specific because God has us, what God led me to understand is if we don't understand what covenant really is, then we're not going to understand what He'll really do. We're not going to understand what His will is. And so we have to understand covenant to understand God, because God is a God of covenant. Amen. I'm so thankful that God is a God of covenant. Now today, covenant is lost on a lot of us because a lot of people today don't really truly understand covenant. The closest that we get is marriage, but most people don't understand what marriage is about and what the purpose of marriage is for, or what a blessed union that it actually is. Marriage is a wonderful thing. Now, that's not to say that if you're not married, you can't understand this, because even if you're not married, you can understand what a good marriage would look like. Amen? You know, and I often say that. Even if you don't have a good parent, you can understand what a good parent or a good father would do. So these things aren't lost on us. We know what's right and wrong. We know them inherently because God has put them on the inside of us. Amen? But God has given us this marriage covenant as a way for us to understand. In fact, one of the first things that he did with man was give him the marriage covenant. Amen? We look back with Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve did not dwell together unmarried. They were married. God joined them together. Amen? And so we understand that specifically Eve was made for Adam, praise the Lord, to fill a void that was in his life that even God couldn't fill. Amen. Praise the Lord. But we understand that marriage is an important thing, and we should understand that. And today, marriage is something that is so easily, it's so attacked, and it's so easily kind of thrown by the wayside. And a lot of people might wonder, why is marriage thrown to the wayside? Or why is it like that? Well, don't think that it's not a plan of the devil to do just that. The reason the devil attacks marriage is because he knows that if he can get you to look to not look at marriage right, he will get you to not look at God right. We have to look at God through the same eyes, the same understanding of covenant. And most importantly, not even the way that we perceive God, but our understanding of who God actually is and what he wants to do. The reason that so many people fail at believing the promises of God is because they just simply don't understand covenant. See, if you understand covenant and you understand God's relationship to covenant or to you through covenant, you'll understand that the promises of God aren't difficult. The promises of God aren't hidden. He's not keeping things from us. People who say that God gives and takes away are people that don't understand covenant, because covenant doesn't give and take away. Covenant only gives. There is no two-way street with covenant. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. There is no, I'm going to say this again because this is what trips some people up. There is no two-way street with covenant. It's one-way street. It means you do, you sacrifice for the other. That's what true covenant is. True covenant is you throw it all in. You don't withhold anything. Actually, the Bible tells us that God withholds no good thing from those who walk uprightly. Amen. What is that? That's covenant. Amen. So there's a difference, and we understand that there's reasons then, that there has to be reasons why people don't walk in the fullness of God. It is not because God is withholding it. It is only because we haven't connected to it. Praise the Lord. This isn't a hard concept to understand, because we understand with Jesus. If we don't connect to Jesus, we don't get what Jesus brings us, right? Do you get salvation unless you receive Jesus? Well, there's some people that are teaching that you can get to God in other ways. But we know that these things aren't true. Why? Because the Bible tells us so. Amen. If we believe that we can get to God, it's another attack of the devil. Look how the devil attacks. He always attacks the truth of the word of God. How does he do that? He attacks it in society. He attacks it in churches. He gets people believing things that aren't true. And once people have grabbed hold of those things, they are officially deceived. And once they are deceived, they can't receive. If you're deceived, you can't receive because you don't know how to receive. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Have you ever, sometimes when I'm, I got my Jeep, praise the Lord, and there's been little things I've been doing to it, and you look at somebody. Have you ever looked at a dashboard of a vehicle and wondered how you get on the inside of it? Now, most of you probably not, but sometimes if you want to change something out, a radio or something like that, does anyone know? I always break things trying to get on the inside of it. Why? Because I don't know how to do it. Amen. I have to thank God for YouTube, because YouTube has opened up the ability to at least let people like me know how to tear something apart. Amen. I don't always get it back together, right? But at least I can tear it apart without breaking it. Amen. But you know, one thing that I've learned is that to those, when you're taking something apart, to those who know, and normally I'm not taking apart cars or anything like that, I have no interest in that. But as I, accessorize, as I want to accessorize the Jeep, Jeeps are made to accessorize. You can buy everything for them. Praise the Lord and glory to God for it. But you got to know how to get into it. But one thing I don't want to do when I'm getting into it is I don't want to break it. Right? I don't want to break something that's nice. And so, but what I've learned is that if you know where how the tricks are, it's not difficult to get on. You don't just need to grab a screwdriver and a hammer and start prying on something. Amen. A lot of times something will just pop off. Maybe it's a simple clip or something like that. To someone who knows, it's not hard to get in, is it? Praise the Lord. But to someone who doesn't know, you can cause destruction trying to get there. And so it's the same thing with the things of God. It's not hard to get into the things of God. A relationship with God is not difficult. Amen. Praise the Lord. One of the greatest things, you know, as I woke up this morning, what was on my heart this morning, I heard these words that he who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to man, but speaks to God. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I didn't think I was going to talk about tongues today, but I am. How much of the church rejects tongues, and yet the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 14:2, he who speaks in an unknown tongue does not speak to man, but speaks to God. People are like, I want to have a relationship with God. I want to talk to God. He who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks to God. That's free, no charge. Praise the Lord. But you just see how Scripture can be, or people can forget Scripture or overlook Scripture because of religion, because of ideas or whatever, and they miss what God has for them. These are the things God has given us. Now listen, that doesn't mean you have to speak in tongues to go to heaven. Praise God, you don't have to speak in tongues to go to heaven. But that doesn't mean that you have to go to heaven with everything that God gave you to go there with. What I mean by it is there's things for us to obtain in this life. I'm not talking about stuff. I'm not talking about riches. I'm not talking about cars and houses and all this other stuff. I'm talking about there's things to accomplish in this life. Yeah. Praise the Lord. The Bible is very clear that when we stand before Jesus, amen, that we will either weep or we will rejoice at either the rewards, the Bible says, that are won or the rewards that are lost. And those rewards are determined by what we do here. Amen. And so we understand that there's rewards in heaven. Jesus told us about it. The Bible is very clear that there's rewards in heaven. So shouldn't we want those things? Shouldn't we strive for those things? Well, of course we should. Praise the Lord. No, I'm just going to live this pious Christian life in poverty and sickness and because that's the way God wants me to. That's not what God's will is. Praise the Lord. Never was, never will be. Praise the Lord. When you are born again, all the potential for function are in place. Or when you are born, I'm sorry. When you are born, all the potential for function are in place. When a baby is born, we got some babies that have been born. Praise the Lord. We got some babies or whatever. We got babies are coming, you know, praise God. But in the baby, there is potential for life, for all of life. Every baby from the womb, praise the Lord, from conception, every baby that is created from conception, all the potential for everything they'll ever do in life is already there, right? Does anyone disagree with that? When it's just one egg and one sperm and they come together, the potential for everything that will ever be in that human is already there. There's nothing added to it. I said nothing's added to it from that point on. It will multiply, but it multiplies according to the direction that is already written in the DNA and all that stuff, right? Praise the Lord. Yeah. Glory to God. This is why we are pro-baby from conception in this church. Praise God. Well, that's free, no charge. But anyways, all the potential for life and everything in it is already there. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. The potential to talk, walk, create, it's all there. But there must be a desire to do it or it'll never happen. What do we see babies doing? When a baby is first born, Josh can tell you a lot about this and forgot because Josh is experiencing it very freshly. Hallelujah. But what's happening when a baby is first born? They're moving and they're yelling and they're doing everything they possibly, what are they doing? They're learning how to function. They're learning how to use things. In fact, we would know that a baby that doesn't cry, some babies might cry less than others, but a baby that doesn't sound out, there's something wrong with that. A baby that doesn't move, there's something wrong with that. You know, doctors rejoice when a baby comes out and starts crying. Why? That's a sign of life. The baby is activating its lungs and its vocal cords and trying to do the things that it's supposed to do. There's a desire, an inherent desire in that baby to do these things. In every normal baby, it's going to be the same way. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You say, where am I going with this? Well, when you are born again, you're just the same way. Yeah. Your everything that you will do, all the potential that God has already done in you. We're getting to Scripture, I promise, but there's a lot that the Holy Spirit wants to lead us into. Amen. A little bit's written down, but a lot of it's just inspiration from Him. Praise the Lord. So when you were born again, that same potential is already there. The potential, there's a reason that Jesus called it born again. You know, they said, the man came to Jesus and said, what must I do? And he said, you must be born again. And then it was at Nicodemus. And he said, well, how can a man be born again? How can he go back into his mother's womb? And Jesus was saying, that's not what I'm talking about. Yeah. Says you must be born again. But notice that Jesus, God, likened being the new birth to human birth. Why did he do that? Because it's telling us something. All the potential that God has for us is placed within us in the new birth. And so when you get born again, all the potential for God, what does this have to do with covenant? It has a lot to do with covenant. Because that is your covenant. Praise the Lord. All the potential for your future is placed on the inside of you. Praise God. When you are born again, but your desire or your drive will determine how far you go. How much of it you walk into. There are some Christians that come to the faith and they get excited and they just go. They're like, I want this with all my heart. I'm not turning back. I'm just after it. Praise the Lord. I will not go back. They just take off. And there's some Christians that come in and they get excited because they got saved, but then they just kind of like fizzle out and it just kind of blah, 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 blah. Then they just go back to life and just live in their life. And yeah, I believe in God, but da, 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 and they just float through life. Don't be surprised when one excels and one just kind of boom, 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 bumps along. It's all determined by us. God isn't withholding from us. God's not hindering one of his children and then saying to another child, you go right ahead. Would you do that with your children? Would you look at one of your children and say, here you are. I'm going to give you everything you need. Here's riches. Praise the Lord. Here's ability. Praise the Lord. Here's favor. You just have everything you need. And then to turn to another one of your children and say, but you, I want you to learn some things. So I'm going to withhold from you. I'm going to take out of your, I'm going to take what's yours and I'm going to give it to your brother. Go ahead. You run with his. That's not how it happens, is it? It doesn't make any sense, does it? So why would we thank God? It's because we don't know covenant. We have to understand covenant. Praise the Lord. This is something that we have to understand. God doesn't just want to take care of you. If you are in covenant, he must. Listen to what I'm saying. He must. He must take care of you. If you are in covenant, if you honor your part of the covenant. But what do we understand about covenant? Let's look at marriage. My wife and I are married. We have a good marriage. Most of you would probably agree with that. At least as much as you can see, you would say, my pastors have a good marriage. They're happy together. Praise the Lord. But if I start breaking the covenant with my wife and I say, well, I want to go do other things with other people. Is she obligated to fulfill her end of the covenant? No. In fact, if I say, you know what? I want, you know, we've been married now. How long have we been married now? 13 years. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. It's all right. See, what's important to my wife and I is not based on superficial things. We're excited to be married. We live every day of fullness and fully, you know what I mean? Praise God, hallelujah. So we get excited about it. I don't always remember dates so well, though. Praise God, hallelujah. So how many rules are we? Are almost 13 years of marriage. Praise God, hallelujah. But if I said after 13, 14 years of marriage, I said, you know what? I think I want a newer model. I'm going to trade in on a newer model. Yeah. There's plenty of people that go out and do that, isn't there? Right? Now, we are in covenant together because that's what marriage is. It's covenant. We are in covenant together. If I say I want to go out and trade in on a newer model and I go out and I run that newer model around a little bit and all of a sudden I realize, wait a minute, that newer model wasn't as good as my older model. I want my older model back. And I come back to my older model and I say, hey, older model, I would say, I want to come back now and make things right. Is she obligated to do that? No. Praise the Lord. So we understand covenant with God. God wants to take care of us, but it's in a place of covenant. It will only be in a place of covenant. It won't be separate from his covenant with us. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm praise God. All this stuff is scripturally based. We're going to get to scripture, I promise, because I know you want it. But there's things that we're setting the stage. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so we understand that covenant works two ways, but covenant must do something if it's going to remain in covenant. It must do it. Praise the Lord. There is a requirement on both ends. And as we look at the covenant, we're going to see that the covenant is a requirement for both to sacrifice and do for the other, not themselves. So God is not, he must take care of us because that's what covenant is. So this makes the whole asking God for things a whole new place of, puts us in a whole new standpoint, doesn't it? Yeah. Because now we have to understand that asking God for something that we need is something that is it's something that he has required by his own word, and you're going to see it, by his own word to fulfill. You say, how can you require? See, people don't like it. Religious people don't like it when you say God is required. God is required, and he is bound by his word. Yes. Praise God. We're going to see it. I promise you. Amen. Just don't turn on me yet. Jeremiah 31. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 31. You say, what is God has to do anything? God doesn't have to do anything. He most certainly does. He can't lie. He has to perform his word. He has to. If you don't like that and you just won't believe it, well, praise the Lord. Go back to your stale church. Glory to God. Or a stale church. Someplace where they won't teach you that. Some place where they teach you that God is sovereign and does everything that just the way that he wants to do it, and that's the way that it's done. If you want to believe that, go believe that. But believe that without the blessing of God. The blessing of God is found in what we're teaching here today. Amen. Amen. Jeremiah 31:31. Hallelujah. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord. But now we can say, behold, the days are here. Amen. He was talking about this time. I'm so thankful. Well, he was talking about other time, but this time is included. These are the days that were coming. They're here. Is there anyone excited about that? The days are here, okay? Praise the Lord. So everything we're going to get into comes after this, right? Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was what? A husband to them. Wow, says the Lord. That's important. That should leap right off the pages at you. Amen. It certainly does to me. The covenant that they broke, my covenant, which they broke. God didn't break it. Everybody say, God didn't break covenant. You know why God didn't break covenant? Because God doesn't break covenant. He can't break covenant. Because God knows. The Bible says when he could swear by no greater thing, he swore by himself. Why? Because God can't. Once he says it, it's done. That's it. See, listen, folks, there's something really big and important in what I just said. Once God says it, it's done. It's all right. When Jesus was on the cross and he said, it's finished, he meant it's finished. It's all done. There is no more to do. It is all done. Praise the Lord. It's finished. The thing that I came to accomplish is accomplished. I've done it. Praise the Lord. That's exactly what God, when he could swear by no greater thing, he swore by himself. Why did he swear by himself? Because God, when he does not break, there's nothing. See, and this is where so many of us, it's so hard in today's society to understand this from God, because a lot of us make empty promises, don't we? A lot of us say, oh yeah, sure, I'll be there. I'll show up and I'll do it. And then don't show up. Yeah. Oh, I'll be there at 10 o'clock, 10:15, 10:20, 10:30. That's breaking covenant. That's lying. That's not keeping your word. God keeps his word. But see, the problem is when we live a lifestyle or when we live in a society that doesn't keep its word, what happens is we get accustomed to people not keeping the word. So then it becomes no big deal. Nobody thinks twice. If I know it, I always apologize. In fact, I send messages. If I'm going to be 2 minutes late, some of you have known that. I've sent you a message. I'm going to be 2 minutes late. You're like, well, I don't care. I do, though. See, it's important that I try. Now, I'm not saying I've been perfect at that. There may be times where I've missed it. Maybe there's been times where I gave my word on something and I forgot. You know, there are allowances in life, you understand. But what I'm saying is when people live a lifestyle of breaking promise and breaking promise and breaking promise, then it's not hard to do it. And then people don't think it's any big deal when anyone else says it. I know you said you'd be here 10 minutes ago, but that doesn't matter. Yes, it does matter. Because the Bible says it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's these little things that we allow in. Now, listen, let's not get hyper-religious and start being like, you know, we got to, bang, 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 you know, just everything has got to be by the book. That's not the way God wants us to be either. But what we're saying is that our words, we have to understand that our words carry weight. God understands that his words carry weight. And the reason that we need to understand it is because we need to understand that God's words carry weight. When he spoke it, it's so, period. Doesn't change. Can you pull that back up here, please? Praise the Lord. When he spoke it, it's so. It's a matter of a fact. My covenant, which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. Praise God. Let's see, where were we? But this is a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. Now, this includes you. Praise the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. Praise God. And so this is a covenant that he's made with us, but we understand that it is found in what? Covenant. He said, this is a covenant I will make with them. Covenant is important to God. Literally, covenant is an agreement. It's a contract. It's something that two parties agree to and cannot be broken. You know, if you sign a paper, praise the Lord, if you go to the lawyers and you sign a paper and you say, hey, I will pay for this house. Write it down on paper, right? And you're a lawyer, and they notarize it. All these legal things that we have, what is that? That's covenant. That gives us an idea of what covenant is. Why do people enter into those things slowly? They want to know that everything is going to be good in the agreement, right? Well, that's the same thing with us. When we enter an agreement with God, when we enter this covenant with God, we should be in a place where we understand everything that is entitled to us. It's important to understand that because you are in covenant. Listen, two people don't get into covenant with one person just getting something. That's not a covenant. Praise the Lord. That's a dictatorship. Covenant is a two-way street. But covenant says that I will take care of my end of things, you will take care of your end of things. Now, God is the one who relates his covenant to marriage. Marriage with a husband and a wife. The ultimate purpose of a husband and a wife, the husband, is to take care of the wife, and the wife, the husband. That when you say your vows, when we do our vows, and we're very specific on the vows we choose when we marry somebody, but when we say the vows, what you're saying vows, generally, in this, at least in this church, that are very specific to what your part of the covenant is. Yeah. Amen? You know, we talk about honor and stuff like that from the wife to the husband and the husband to love. And listen, those things aren't it isn't like one's getting something more than the other. No, it's God fulfilling in the covenant of marriage. He's fulfilling what each of the other person needs. Praise the Lord, because men are naturally made to receive certain things and to need certain things. And women are. Have you guys learned that yet? Have you learned that your husband may not get why you need what you need, but you know you need it? But your husband might not even get it. Has any wife learned that? Yeah. Husbands, have you ever learned that there's certain things you need for your wives? I'm just going to tell you something. Why? Or husbands, have you ever had your wife say something that wasn't very nice about you to somebody else, and you felt your pride and your ego get crushed, and it was probably maybe the worst thing that's ever happened to you? Wives, you need to understand that. Yeah. You can crush a man with your words. Yeah. Absolutely. They might not show it because they're tough guys on the outside. Yeah. This is where the honor comes from. This is where that understanding. Praise the Lord. You know, there's things that each need. There's things that that the other may not even understand. Might just think, oh, I was just goofing around with my girlfriends. I was just goofing around with my buddies. But see, it's not just goofing around when you break covenant, is it? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, praise God. And so we see God was making a new covenant with us. Amen. Because it was important to him for a lot of reasons. Number one, he wanted us to be successful. God wanted us to accomplish everything that he had set before. Jeremiah 29:11, we talk about how Jeremiah 29:11, God says that he has a plan for us from the beginning of time. God has a plan for each and every one of us, that he thought about us, that he knew us in our mother's womb, that he had a plan for us and a purpose for us being here. That although, two people coming together, praise the Lord, that's not necessarily God's plan. But God honors the process of two people coming together by introducing a spirit into the baby. Amen. And that's how a baby receives a spirit. Amen. It's not that every baby that is born, specifically God said, okay, that baby, okay, that baby, okay, that baby. No, there's natural processes to make babies. And most of us know what they are, right? Praise the Lord. And so those natural processes, if they're taken upon two people, will probably produce a baby, right? I mean, that's you know, praise God, hallelujah. But so God isn't sitting there saying, okay, you two get together now so you have a baby. That's not how it works. See, this is what's wrong with people who think that God is just orchestrating everything. Because people that think God is orchestrating everything, then everything is God's purpose. And that's not the truth. Not everything is God's purpose. Now, God can use everything for his purpose, but not everything starts off as God's purpose. So if you've screwed up, if you've made mistakes in any area of life, that's okay. That is why he made a new covenant. That's why he came back, because he said, these people can't do it anyways. They're never going to live up to a standard. I got to give them something they can do. Why? Because I need them to accomplish something. Amen? And they can't do it any other way. Man, I lead them out of Israel, or Egypt. I lead them out of Egypt. I said, here's the problem. I lead them out by a pillar of fire and smoke. I kill half the Egyptian babies or whatever. You know how it worked. Praise the Lord. But I went through and smote Egypt. Praise the Lord. Brought them out in miraculous signs and wonders. They bring them up to the promised land. I just split the Red Sea. I mean, no, how many of you have walked up to a body of water and had to go and open up for you? Everybody comes up with different, well, it may have looked like this. It doesn't matter how it looked like. These people went across where there was water as on dry land, the Bible says. So I don't care if ground rose up. That's not what happened. But if ground rose up, I don't care if alien spaceships came down and carried people across. It does not matter how it happened. The fact of the matter is you can't walk through water. And you can't walk across water. Yeah, I mean, you can walk through, you wade, you know what I mean? But they didn't wade across to the other side. Yeah. Amen. They went across in a miraculous way. What am I trying to say? God does miraculous things, but people still don't believe it. They get to the other side and say, well, we can't go in. Well, there's people in there. Are you kidding me? You were just in bondage. He got you out of bondage. You can't break. They weren't even in bondage yet. They put themselves back in bondage. Yeah. Why? Because that's what people always do. They put themselves back in bondage. Yeah. They go back to saying, oh, you know what, we're gonna believe like all the other religions believe. We want to believe that way. Because this is too hard to believe. You know why? Because the truth of the word puts responsibility on each one of us. And people don't like responsibility being on them. They don't like being responsible for their own lives. But guess what? You are. You are. And you can sit there and say, I don't like that all day long. You say, I don't want anything, but that's not going to change the fact that you're still responsible for your own life. And you aren't going to see change until you take that responsibility. We have to take responsibility for what God wants to do in our lives, or we'll never see what God wants to do in our lives. Praise the Lord. I always say this. You know, people can argue. People argue this stuff with me, or they could. But here's the truth. How is it working for you otherwise? You're doing it the opposite of what I said. How's it work for you? I love to talk to religious people. They'll go, I don't believe that in the word. I've been going to church for 30, 40 years. I don't believe that in the word. Yeah? How's it working for you the way you believe? Where's the power of God in your life? Well, I don't see it. Yeah, I know you don't see it. And the reason you don't see it is because you're not listening to the word. I'm not saying you're not listening to me. You're not listening to the word. You're not doing what the word says. The word changes lives. I said it. The word changes lives. I pray that prayer because I know it. I say it every service, the word changes lives. If you conform your life to this word, your life will change. It'll look better. It will look blessed. Why? Because that's what the word does. It takes us from glory to glory. One level. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Numbers 23:19. We'll just bring that up. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken and will he not make it good? In other words, God is bound by his word. Why is he bound by his word? Because he has determined in himself, I will never lie. And so when God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, guess what? He has never left you nor forsake you. You say, well, wait a minute, Pastor Jeff. I felt left and I felt forsaken. That's because you didn't know the word. It has nothing to do with what God's doing because he said he's never left us. I heard this minister saying this, and I don't know if the minister is good or not. It doesn't matter. I just love what he was saying. But he said, you know why God whispers? Because he's right next to us. The devil's the one yelling because he's standing out there. Now listen, sometimes I got to yell, but that's different. I ain't living right next to you. I ain't in your private time at home. Thank God. Wouldn't it be creepy all of a sudden you're brushing your teeth and Pastor Jeff pokes his head out. But the Holy Ghost is there. God is there. He has never left you nor forsaken you. Praise God. Glory to God. He whispers because he wants us to draw close to him. I love that analogy. When I heard that, I was like, I don't know who this man is, but he's preaching real good right now. God whispers. He uses a still small voice because what does the Bible say? Draw nigh unto God and he'll draw nigh unto you. In English language, draw close to God and he'll draw close to you. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. It didn't say draw near. God will draw near to you and you draw here, then you can draw near to him. It says you draw near to God. Why? It's because, listen, this is why we have to draw near to God, okay? I'm just answering all these questions because I hear them ticking off in your head. God is not the one with the estrangement problem we are. God is not the one who separates himself from him or us. We separate ourselves from him. Sin separated us from God. God didn't separate from us. People say, how could a good, loving God send people to hell? He doesn't send anybody to hell. They are already on that path. It isn't a matter of God sending people to hell. They're already headed there. He ain't sending nobody anywhere. God stops that with Jesus. The blood of Christ stopped that path. He hindered that destination for so many people and for anybody who would receive it. Draw near to God. Why? He's not the one who's pushing you away. We have been the ones that pushed him away. Praise God. And how we act and how we do, how we live our lives. Listen, when you all sin is a vehicle that separates us from God. It pushes God away. That's all that it does. God doesn't say don't sin because I don't want you to have fun. He's saying don't sin because it pushes you away. Why? Because God will not have part of your sin. Because God is not a sinful being. He will not have part of sin. He can't. He destroys sin. Why? It's rebellion. It's nasty. It's disgusting. Sin is where things like sickness and disease come from. Do you know cancer comes out of sin? I don't mean that everyone who has cancer sinned to get it. What I'm saying is that the development of cancer came into the human race through the sinful flesh. Somewhere the sinful flesh, because sin has distorted all the diseases that we have, all came through sinful flesh. Why? Adam and Eve did not know disease. They didn't know sin until they sinned. Amen? Praise the Lord. So once it entered in, it brought with us. You say, well, that doesn't sound really nice and that doesn't sound fair. We'll go read the book of James. James tells us that sin, in Romans, it tells us that the wages of sin is what? Death. So it's not something God has created. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. I still hear Christians. I mean, Christians are taught this. They're taught right. Sitting there saying, well, somebody died. God must have taken them, needed them. God didn't need nobody. He needs you here. He needs you being effective here. He doesn't need you being effective in heaven. If he needed you being effective in heaven, he would never set you here. But you're here. So God doesn't need you there. Praise the Lord. We do have say over those types of things. But if you don't know that, you won't know you do. Yeah, I don't know. You could probably a poll. I bet you 90% or better of Christians believe that when someone dies, that God took them home. That's an absolute lie. You'll never see that in Scripture. Now, we do know this, that when a Christian dies, God will receive them. But he didn't cause the death. God didn't say, oh, their number's up, time to come home. Where do you see that in Scripture? Show me in Scripture where it says that. Well, other people point to a Scripture like it and say, well, it's appointed once unto man to die. That's not what that Scripture's talking about. It's saying that you only die once. Praise the Lord. Actually, two people, at least in history that we know of, didn't die. Right? Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Covenant. But see, if we don't, you say, why do you preach about this stuff, Pastor? Why do you always bring this stuff up? It's important for us to get it in us so much so that when the devil tries to feed us these lies that God doesn't want to take care of us or God doesn't want to come through for us, praise the Lord, that we just look at it and say, that's a bunch of, that's junk. Because when you believe a lie, you get deceived by the lie. And when you are deceived, you don't receive. Well, praise God. Turn with me to Ephesians 5. Glory to God. Anyone getting helped here today? Ephesians 5. Covenant. Covenant means something to God. He is not a man that he should lie. His word is his covenant. His covenant is his word. God is not a man that he should lie. If he said it, he'll make it good. Praise God. But that does not, so there has to be, we have to ask ourselves, according to the scriptures we've already seen, we have to ask ourselves, if a Christian is not receiving those things that God has promised, what is the reason for it? Yeah. And we have to point to Numbers at least and say, it can't be because he didn't promise it. There has to be some other reason. That gets our minds thinking, doesn't it? That's why we start thinking about the truth. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, listen. You know, some of us have been raised in different kinds of religions and all different kinds of... Does that mean that you have to go back and erase all that stuff and just get it all right? No. Listen, sometimes there's a foundation to get us in the door. I was raised in around religion with religious people, people who loved God but didn't know this stuff. That doesn't mean I reject all of them, say they're bad people, I don't want anything. Come on, that's foolishness. Where's the love in that? It doesn't mean that we look backwards and say, oh, you people, they're just, you know, I don't go up to my brother, Baptist brothers and sisters or my Methodist brothers and sisters and say, oh, you know, you're an idiot, you're going to hell because you don't believe the way I believe. Come on now. But sometimes they might go without stuff that we don't know. Praise the Lord. Yeah, if a church doesn't teach about healing, there ain't going to be many people healed in the church. I'm just telling you the truth, but we've seen it. We've seen cancers healed. We've seen other things healed. We've seen tumors healed, spots healed, things on the brain healed. We've seen that in the church. Why? Because we're so wonderful. No, because God's word, because we open the word and we look to the word. We've seen people that are depression healed, people set free from things that bound them their entire lives, and now they're living normal lives. Why? Because God, because the word works. You can't deny that stuff. Praise the Lord. But if you want to stick to your religion, then you'll stay out of it. What I mean by religion is religious thinking. You know, God was dealing. Actually, when God dealt with me about this, so that morning I heard covenant connections. What God went on to deal, I have it written down here. I told you about this. I try to carry this with me everywhere now. This is what we call like a prayer journal or something like that. Every time God starts talking to me about something, I try to write it down in here now. This is what I'm doing. So this is full of a bunch of good stuff. Oh, it's starting to get full of a bunch of good stuff. But God started dealing with me about our relationship with him. And he's like, dealing with me about husband and wife relationship. He was like, when you get into a marriage, you're just not automatically everything you're going to be ever in that marriage right there at that time. Don't you adapt over time? Aren't there things you learn about your spouse that maybe 5 years in that you maybe didn't quite know a few years and you adapt to that? And sometimes you change customs. Sometimes you change. You know, one of the things I noticed, I'm a big person. I'm really big into tradition as far as like holidays and stuff like that goes. You know, my mom raised me in such a way that holidays were so important. And especially Christmas was just a wonderful time of year. And it was an important time of year. And it looked a certain way every single year. But I noticed that as we grew older, that some of that started changing. And I never really thought of it. And I thought, oh, man, what a shame. And I had temptation to get depressed because it went. But if you really think about it, as a family grows, okay, one parent has, you know, 3, 4, 5 kids or whatever. And then each of them have 3, 4, and 5 kids. You can't continually always get everybody together because it doesn't work that way. Pretty soon you won't have a building big enough. You know what I mean? And so every family eventually starts forming its own traditions and they start changing a little bit over time. But to the kids just coming in, that's the truth. That's all they know. You know, but we can't just hold to those things. It's important to understand those things and it's exciting to have those. How did I get on that? I don't know, but praise the Lord. Yeah, God is good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 5:22. Praise the Lord. But things change, like, you know, with tradition, things change like that over time. We understand that. Praise the Lord. Again, I don't know where I was going with that, but it was somewhere. It was going to help someone, I'm sure. Praise the Lord. And if it didn't, well, it was good nonetheless. Amen. Help me. Ephesians 5:22. All right. So we're going to look at what the Apostle Paul, led by the Holy Ghost, said about the marriage covenant. But I love the title of this section of my scripture. It says marriage, Christ, and the church. Okay, so we're dealing with two things here. We're dealing with marriage and Christ and the church. The thing to understand before as we get into this is everything that I'm about to read to you is good in marriage and it's good in the church. We're going to start this off with a humdinger, verse 22. You're all excited to hear it. Let's get ready. Guys, get ready to rejoice. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. I didn't hear any husbands rejoicing. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But we have to understand here. We're going to go into a lot. See, this is, you pull one scripture out of context, you'd be awfully wrong, can't you? This is not just putting guys as some bulldog head of the family saying, okay, you just need to do what I do and the way I do it, blah, bless God, blah, blah, blah. No, that's not the way that it works. See, we're going to see through the fullness of Scripture, look at it in context, we're going to see what all of it is about, amen? Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Listen, why does he start with wives? Because that's who he started with. If he had started with husbands, the devil would have twisted it some other way. Yeah. I'm just saying he would have. That's exactly what, it doesn't matter. He had to start with one of them. Here he started with wives. But as you're going to see, there's way more scriptures in this section of scriptures that deal with the husbands than it does the wives. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church. And he is the savior of the body. That doesn't mean that your husband is your savior, praise the Lord, but it's reflecting on the church, amen? So Christ is the head of the church. What does this mean? It means that the husband should be leading. Now, does anyone know about anything about Christ in the church? Did Christ come in like a bulldog, thumping people on the head, saying, this is what you're going to do. You're going to listen to me and only me, and you're going to do it just this way, and if you don't like it, to hell with you. That's not what he said, did he? He came in with love, and he led by example. He showed people how to love, and he led by example. He showed people how to, so the head should also act like the head of the church, because that's what he's talking about. You know the number one problem in churches today? Husbands aren't leading the church. What do I mean by that? I mean husbands aren't leading their families to church. A lot of times it's the wives, and if anything, they're dragging their husbands. These things ought not be so. Listen, now if that's how you came in, I'm not. There's no condemnation in that. You know, where if you came in from a worse place and you're in a better place, don't be condemned by something I say. Be convicted only by things that you need know you need to change. Husbands need to lead their families in the things of God. They need to. Why? Because that's their place. The reason that it's all goofy and all over the place is because guys aren't leading it. The husbands aren't leading it. Husbands, maybe you haven't been leading. You need to step up and just say, you know what? We're going to start doing this. And how do you lead? You lead by love. You don't lead by forceful imprisonment. You don't lead by kicking and beating and punching and forcing and pushing out the door. You lead by love. You show through love, praise the Lord. That's exactly what you're supposed to do. There ain't nothing wrong with that. So it makes a little bit different take on it when we look at it just a little differently, doesn't it? Praise the Lord. Husband is the head of the wife. As also Christ is the head of the church. As also Christ is the head. As Christ is the head of the church, the husband. I just want to stay on that for a minute because you really got to understand that. So much of religion has done so much damage because it has pushed women down, beaten women down, said you can't do this, you can't do that, you're not part of this, you're not part of that. Kicked them to the curb, made men the bulldog, made men the head honcho, and just made them the, you know, they're the ones to be exalted. We got church. I know of churches that can't even accept a woman teacher. And they can't do it because the word, they can't really point. They twist scripture to make it say something that they want because they won't look at it correctly. Now, when Paul was dealing with different things, you have to understand a lot of things about the way, we're not going to get into that teaching, but there is context. Just as we're reading today, there's context in scripture. And if you pull something out of context, you can make it say anything you want, but it doesn't make you right. Praise the Lord. We see time after time after time through Scripture how God used women to lead men. Look at Deborah in the Old Testament. Yeah, he led the whole nation of Israel by a woman. He did. Praise the Lord. We see other people, a bunch of people in the New Testament. There's a whole study on that, but I'm not getting into that today. Well, praise the Lord. Goes to say, therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. How is the church subject to Christ? Through authoritarian rule or through love? Through submitting to one another. See, this is ultimately what we're going to see in this because this section of scripture, this is what it's pulling out. I'm just going to give you I'm going to give it to you ahead of time. What this section of scripture does, it uses women first, but it doesn't put any order and importance. What it does is basically this lays the groundwork for husbands and wives to completely, 100% submit to one another. Because even though I know this, we know in our household that I am the head of the household. There is nobody in our household that will argue that fact. But we also know this, that if I didn't have my wife, that household would be in an awfully bad place. Praise the Lord. And so my wife and I, You know, I love what the marriage vows, the marriage lesson that we've learned in our church circles. I love what it says, that God didn't take, that God took Eve out of the side of Adam. So not that she would be behind him or in front of him, but that she would be right next to him. And that's exactly how God intended it to be. Now, of course, that's not specifically scripture. I mean, it was that he took him on the side. But, you know, that's just a way of looking at it. You know what I mean? But that's exactly what God intended. We do this work together. Praise the Lord. I'm the head of this church as far as on earthly matters. Jesus is the head. Praise the Lord. But God has placed me as the pastor of this church. But he didn't have to do that. He could have very easily made my wife the pastor and chose me to be co-pastor or something like that. My wife and I co-pastor this church, but I am the pastor. She submits to me in that realm. In the home, she submits to me in that realm. But I don't make any decision without going through her. Of course, I go through God, but I don't make any decision without asking her and going through her. Why? Because, listen, you can't have two people driving the car. If you're going down the street and the husband's driving, all of a sudden the wife reaches over and says, I don't like the way he's driving, and starts trying to steer a car, what's going to happen? You're going to get in a car accident. You can't have two people. You got to have one. And God chose it to be in this order. Why did he choose? Like I said, if God had chosen the woman to be the head of the household, the devil would have twisted it the other way. So it doesn't matter. We just got to understand that God does things a certain way, and that's not bad. Husbands and wives, we each have our place. Neither is more important than the other, but I'm going to tell you, it's very important. It's good that we each have our own place. Yes, amen. Praise the Lord. And by the way, just in case you didn't know, this isn't a today problem, because the ones who supported Jesus most were women. Yeah. There was women that followed Jesus and gave into his ministry, that funded his ministry. It was the women that did it. Why? Because the women are always the faithful ones. Women understand faithfulness, don't you? Yeah. Now, I'm not saying all women are perfect, all women do, but I'm just saying that in general, generally speaking, women understand faithfulness, don't they? We look at these stereotypes because we know that they're true, but, oh, praise the Lord. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, this is important. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. What did Jesus withhold from the church? Nothing. What did Jesus do when he looked at the church? He gave everything. What did he give himself over the church? Nothing. Jesus withheld nothing from the church. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. Husbands, what are you supposed to hold from your wife? Keep back from your wife. Husbands, what are you supposed to do? You are supposed to sacrifice anything to make your wife smile, to make your wife happy, to bless your wife. That is the job of the husband. So don't tell me this is out of order, because you start looking at this, now all of a sudden you say, wait a minute, wives, they got to see some people get some of these, well, I like to say feminazis, they like to say, like, I said that word again. She says I can't say that, but I did. Praise the Lord. But you know, these people out there, they're everything out of order. Just because guys did something wrong, now the women got to do things wrong. Well, how much sense does that make? No, listen, feminism, maleism, I don't care what kind of ism it is, it's bad. Just be a Christian, for God's sakes. Just be a Christian and you won't have a problem. You won't have problems with other people. You won't have issues with other people. They may have issues with you, but if you act like a Christian, guess what? It's always going to go in your favor. You know why? Because God hasn't left you nor forsaken you. Oh, of course, but you got to believe that. See, you got to be connected to that. You got to understand that God actually wants to do something. See, everybody's out there trying to change something by yelling and throwing rocks and trying to make everybody else, you know, you got to see my point of view. All you got to do is start praying. Pray for people that don't agree with you. That'll change it. Don't complain about the president. You don't like what he's doing? Pray about it. Say, Lord, change his mind or mine. Yeah, how about that? Because that's what Christians are supposed to do. But what do Christians want to do? They want to get on Facebook and get mouthy. They want to be out there and just shouting there, oh, this is my opinion, my idea. This is why I got off Facebook. I'm on Instagram because they don't let you use many words, or at least I don't use many words. Praise the Lord. I just put pictures up. Sometimes people say, oh, that's a little bit weird. That's fine. I didn't say anything. Didn't get me in trouble. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You may not understand the picture or the video I post. That's fine. Glory to God. It's better for you that way. A lot of times you don't want to see what's inside my head. Amen. I'm just telling you. Why? I'm just normal like you are. Praise the Lord. We got thoughts. I got thoughts. Amen. Glory to God. But listen, Christians always want to have an opinion about stuff instead of just doing what they're supposed to do. What did Jesus do? He didn't answer them a word. They were accusing him of things that weren't true. He didn't answer them nothing. He got, praise the Lord. He sat back. Where's this message go? Where's the time going? Praise the Lord. You understand what we're trying to say. We're building something. Why are we going back and forth with all this? Because we're laying the groundwork of what covenant is. Amen? Because God talks about covenant himself. Amen? Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he may sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. Husbands, if your wives are not what you want them to be, it's probably your fault. Yeah, because if you're a good godly husband, if you pray for your wife, if you do what she want, or if you do what God has told you to do, guess what? Your wife will get in line or she'll get gone. And the same thing with you wives with your husbands. They'll either get in line or they'll get gone. If you pray, if you release faith, if you go to God, instead of complaining all the time, instead of nagging all the time, instead of trying to make things happen with your words, if you take your words and you go to God in prayer and say, Lord, change their heart or mine, show us who's right or wrong, and you don't try to change it, guess what? You'll have what you want. Not all marriages are going to last, not because God doesn't want it, but just because not all marriages are good. Yeah. Praise the Lord. That's just going to happen. That's not God's plan, but that's the way that happens sometimes. Why? Because people don't always get into marriage according to God's plan either. But once you're in God's plan, once you're in a marriage, you are in a certain plan, and God ain't saying kick the person to the curb. Do everything that's in your power to make it right. If you're the man, it's your job, and if you're the woman, it's your job. It is not your job to look at the other and say, this is what you're not doing. It is your job to do your job. Praise God. Well, how many people are doing that with God? They're saying, God, you aren't doing this. This is what you're not doing. He's like, you ain't even looking at what you're doing. You're not looking at your part. When you're focused on what someone else isn't doing, you're not focused on what you aren't doing. You're focused on what they aren't doing. Listen, you know, remember when Jesus, the woman that was brought to in front of him and caught in adultery? Always thought that was interesting. She was caught in the midst of adultery. She was performing the act, whatever act it was. Where was the guy? They caught her. Well, they didn't catch him. Was he slippery or something? Was he quick? Did he just jump out the window? What happened here? They caught her. See, because that's what religious people do. They want to start throwing stones. You want to start throwing stones at somebody who sinned or somebody who's tripped up? That's the spirit of the devil. You want to start looking, that does not mean that we can't say that something's right or wrong. That is not what I'm saying. Praise the Lord. But we have had an example where we don't just try, just because somebody screws up, we don't try to just ruin their lives. We don't try to tear them apart. Praise the Lord. God ain't doing that either. Listen, if you screw up, God's still there for you. Get right. If you do something wrong, get right. But if you're going to keep going down the road and doing the same thing wrong over and over and over again, you will eat the fruit of it. And no prayer on earth, no pleading, no begging God is going to change it. I said no pleading is going to change it. People are trying to do that all the time. They're getting themselves in a whole bunch of trouble because they won't listen. Only because they won't listen. And then when the trouble happens, they say, Lord, deliver me from it. They don't see the deliverance. They say, see, God doesn't deliver. But it isn't because God doesn't deliver. It's because they've never got themselves right. They're looking at what God won't do instead of looking at what they should do. Yeah. Praise the Lord. That's what covenant does. See, covenant, our job is not to make things happen. My job is not to fill this church. My job is to come preach the word. Your job is to come listen to the word. Come pull on the word. Our job is to go out together and to do this work that God has called us to do. Praise the Lord. Our job is not to make it to happen. Why isn't there this many people? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Praise the Lord. We got a pretty good group here today. Praise the Lord. Some days we don't. Some days I look out, where is everybody? Praise the Lord. But it doesn't matter. I preach the word anyways. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're getting close, I promise. Verse 28. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Wow. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. God nourishes and cherishes the church. You see, if you're a person that won't live life from a nourishing and cherishing aspect, you're not going to be one. Don't expect it from God. If you can't nourish and cherish somebody, I mean, look at the people in the church. Listen, we should be out looking for opportunity in the church. You know, any opportunity that's presented to us, any opportunity to grow, any opportunity it's all part of all of us. We want God to do for us. Do we do what God wants us to do? Are we after a plan? Now, I believe this. We have a church that is phenomenal. We have a church of people that love the Lord. People that are learning, but people that love the Lord. There's a higher level for us all to go to. Praise God. But we got to encourage ourselves in these things. We have to encourage one another back and forth in these things. Listen, it's not about Family Church Mayville, but it is about what we're called to do. And we're called to do it together. We're not called to do it separately. Our plans to everybody who's connected here, God has plans for this local congregation. Praise the Lord. That's why I just don't do everything with the other churches. It ain't because I'm against them. It's because I'm not called to do that. Now, if the Lord calls me to do that, fine. But, you know, there's been pastors that say, hey, let's get together and have a service in the park or something like that. Well, I'm not called to do that, at least not right now. You know what I mean? We do what we're called to do. Amen. We stay in that lane. Praise the Lord. But my purpose in saying all this is the point this is to show the back and forth between a husband and wife. Husband and wife, covenant, right? One loves the other one. One does for the other one. One submits to the other one. It's always that way, right? So, covenant with God. What's our covenant with God? God's covenant with us is that he will take care of us and we take care of him. How can we take care of God? I'm going to make this real simple for you. We do what he asks us to do. God's number one purpose for humanity is to get other people saved. You remember the Great Commission? It's to bring other people to the knowledge of the truth. Yes. It's to bring other people to him, the people that don't know him. Our job, our part of the covenant, is to do the work of God. As a body, as individuals, as believers, our job is to do the work of God. And therefore, if we are doing our job well, if we're doing everything within us to bring people to Christ and to the knowledge of Christ, it's not just enough to bring them there. But no, there's more for you to learn. Amen? Praise the Lord. I love my sister Kimberly back here. She was sharing with me just before service about somebody, a friend that she connected with about, maybe the friend contacted her or whatever about the church. And what she just started saying everything she possibly could about the ministry and about how, what she knows about it and just like how it's helped her and stuff like that. And what's that do? That's reaching other people, trying to get them to know the same truth that she's learning. Amen. And none of us is there yet. None of us have it all figured out. I don't have it all figured out. Praise the Lord. And I'm leading this mess. Praise God. But God does. Praise the Lord. Listen, we're a bunch of misfits. You look around here, look at each one of us, and we don't all necessarily blend together well, naturally speaking. We come from different backgrounds, different lifestyles, all kinds of different things. But praise the Lord, we have one thing in common. That thing is Christ, amen? And the Holy Spirit, which draws us together. And if we follow this covenant with God, this is where our connection is. And this is where our connection is together. If we follow closely this covenant with God, we will walk into all those things that he has for us in the right timing. We ain't got to fret about it. But see, what we're doing is we're living our lives freaking out about how are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? That's God's part of the covenant. It's not my part. Yeah. And so we need to learn to trust God in the most in the most valuable way that we could possibly trust him. And that is believing that God will do what he said he will do. God said he'll take care of us. He's never left us nor forsaken us. Never leaving us nor forsaken us. It means that not only has he not walked away from us, but he's also not pulled anything away from us. He's always supplying what we need if we stay connected to him. So let's keep our part of the covenant, do what he called us to do. But the most important thing I want you to get out of today is trusting God in his part of the covenant. God will deliver because he said he would. Amen.